From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts. Tonight, you just left for work and had a non-specific feeling that something was happening to your place and it wasn't good. Dan?
Exactly, Tammy. It could be smoke damage, theft, or just too much caffeine, but you can't stop thinking about it.
But with renter's insurance through GEICO, your stuff is covered, so you don't have to worry.
And that's great, because the weekend is coming up and it's chock full of social obligations that are ready to fill that void.
Oh boy, will they, Dan? It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Dumbass talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate, Water Toaster. Oh, it's my mate, Water Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's my mate, Water Toaster.
Hello, welcome back. It is My Mate Bought a Toaster version toasted. This week we're going to be talking about Ross Noble. This is a little spin-off, a side dish really. One of those disappointing packages you get from Amazon rather than the big chunky one. This is the boring thing like batteries, where we just go through and have a little extra look at the things that came up on Ross Noble this week's first episode back. As ever, my wife is here. Hello, Sunday Times top 10 best-selling author Beth Morey.
Hello.
And of course, should we do an early plug for your podcast?
Because everyone has a podcast. Do.
I should also say, to paint a picture, so Beth and I are sitting in a little room in our house, and
we have a third presenter.
There's a third presenter who goes by the name of Peggy. She is half poodle, half Saluki, and all she's doing in the most cowed, pathetic way.
She's pathetic.
And just so you know, the bit of her that you're stroking, Beth.
Oh, no. What's she rolled in? Oh, gross.
I can tell you for an absolute definite fact. And you've just had a shower. An absolute definite fact. Yes, that is where it's not fox poo. It's her sister. Our other dogs, Phlegm, was all down there because they'd been playing.
Oh, that's all right. I don't mind Phlegm. I'm snogging our dog all the time.
It's an interesting side discussion straight off the bat, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Body fluids that you don't mind.
You were about to do a plug for my show.
Those of a dog, yes. So wild swimming wangers. Most of the people who listen to this podcast are women, as is the case with wild swimming wangers. Is that fair to say?
Well, I don't know the demographics, but yeah, probably.
You began your wild swimming adventures. When did you start doing the podcast?
April.
And you started doing wild swimming like a couple of years ago.
5 years ago.
Is that right?
Yeah, during COVID.
Classic lockdown. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's a great podcast. You and, of course, fellow author Marianne Levy, you know, you do talk about swimming, but most of the time you just sort of...
Wang on.
It's insane. It's
but also, insane. Marianne pointed out the other day that we're about to go into sub-10 degrees.
What does that... Oh, right, okay. So are you starting to do a bit of your podcast on toasted spin-off?
I just wanted to point out one thing that will amuse you. If you get the water below 6 degrees, which it will be quite soon,
yeah,
then it's officially an extreme sport, which means that your wife is an extreme sports presenter.
That's so cool. Wow.
You didn't have that on your bingo card, did you?
I've just got an image of like a, you know, like... Is it, what's it called, the mad tobogganing they do at the Winter Olympics? That's like an extreme sport.
Yeah, you that's, and, that's me.
You and Marianne splashing around in a nearby reservoir.
Extreme sport.
Well, I would definitely recommend Wild Swimming Wangers. It is a brilliant, genuinely very, very funny podcast. As is this. So, Ross Noble this week. Beth Morey, your thoughts on the, let's say, inimitable Ross Noble. It was fun.
He's so funny. And
he should really be a comedian.
And endearing as well. I mean, I know it's been said before, but his voice is just, you just want to listen to him.
Yeah.
But also the way his mind works, that sort of weird tangential thing he does, I thought suited the podcast really well.
Yeah.
A bit too well. Like, there were so many things coming up.
Yeah.
He was sort of like a firework fizzing off in different directions.
He did the, he gave me a warning right at the beginning. Where he said, a lot of these podcasts recently.
Yeah.
And his PR, he's got a lovely PR called Tom, who was there with him. And I saw Tom just sit back with a laptop thinking, I've now got a solid hour and a half. Because we recorded for an hour and a half. So I've edited.
Yeah. I don't know how you edited him down, though.
Well, some of the extreme whimsy. But it was all good. Honestly, I could happily have left it at an hour and a half. So items to go through. First of all, I think the thing I want to talk about, first of all, which I found enjoyable, was he was in the Celebrity Shark Infested Waters earlier on this year. Now, I didn't watch this. You used to design TV formats yourself. Take us through just how this show would never have been made when you were working in TV, and yet now Celebrity Swimming with Sharks gets made.
Well, I mean, you know that this sort of thing makes me very, very bitter.
That's
and
why
it's the
I
reason
bring,
I won't watch Traitors, because I could have designed that show and it would have never got made in a million years. I mean, I suppose there's just so much diversity in TV nowadays that anything goes.
I wouldn't complain about diversity. It's not a great look.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that.
I know.
But I remember just before I left telly, I was designing a show where I sent celebrities to swim across Loch Ness.
I mean,
what was I thinking? And I called it Loch Ness Monstars.
Oh.
Did you see what I did there?
Yes.
And it sort of, in my head, equates with Ross Noble and sharks. I could easily have done that.
But Ross Noble, but with the Loch Ness, with Nessie rather
than
sharks.
Yeah, I mean, like, why don't you pitch it to him?
The thing I found most interesting that he said about the experience, because also I chatted to Zoe Lyons, who was also on it as well. Former guest on this show, go and look up her episode. It's fantastic. And it was incredible. I think they were in somewhere like Havana or somewhere insane and wonderful. But Ross said he hasn't eaten fish since he did. He had, because comedians can come across as slightly cynical. You know, that wonderful Nietzsche. That's right.
You just said Nietzsche.
I'm quoting Nietzsche, that Nietzsche quote, which is that humour, a joke, is the death of feeling. So there's this feeling that comedians
don't give a shit about anything.
Don't give a shit about anything. So when you get a moment, that's why I love doing the podcast, when you get a moment where you hear a comedian as, you know, experienced and brilliant as Ross, just very flatly, there's no punchline here.
No.
I don't eat fish anymore. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I was very impressed. I mean, I could not eat fish. I don't like fish. Can I say that it's a sort of moral stance?
So you don't eat fish because a dinner lady jammed your head into a cod?
No, they used to make me eat fish at school.
I wonder if we think about all the dog walks where you've walked near cattle, and that's why you don't eat beef anymore.
Well, no, that was more reading news articles.
Right.
But I appreciate his stance on that.
I just think,
it's good.
You know, if we want to save, if we want to encourage any form of veganism or vegetarianism, make people spend time with their dinner. If you at Easter,
but
when
then
you
he
see
was
lambs,
never going to eat shark, was he?
No, but he doesn't eat any fish anymore.
No,
it's incredible.
Would you do that? Would you swim with sharks?
Any TV show that begins with celebrity, I would gladly do. And yet, weirdly, for some reason, I don't seem to tick that box. No, there is the one that I wouldn't do, which, again, former episode, Marcus Brigstocke talked about it. It's a fantastic episode of Toaster. Marcus Brigstocke is just wonderful. He did the skiing one, Jump.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
And
I mean, that's like...
Yeah, he sustained serious damage. He broke his leg really badly.
Because the reason I was going to say that I would, if I was a celebrity, I would do the shark thing is because I'm just sort of assuming they put so many measures in place that there's no danger at all.
Yeah.
But then you look at something like the ski jump thing and think, well, there's no measures they can put in place that's going to make it totally safe. So
ultimately, they can't hold back on gravity with the ski jump thing. But
no,
the shark thing, I just thought it was lovely. And, you know, yeah, really, really interesting that he doesn't eat fish anymore. Anyway, down to the items that he bought. The first thing I wanted to talk about, the Ewok cutout.
Ewok.
Now, we're not a particularly Star Wars family.
No, we're not.
Are we?
I like the fact, didn't you say that he... You said, you know, he gave it to his daughter, but of course he didn't. He just sort of left it lying around for her to be terrified of.
Which I think is rather wonderful.
Yeah.
So that I fell into an Amazon hole looking for Ewok cutouts, because what I like to do on these episodes is put a load of links to the items so you can go and look at them at the least, or indeed buy them if anyone wants an Ewok cutout. But you know, I can't find Ewok cutout. But I fell into something of a cutout hole on Amazon.
Okay, I can see what you fell into.
So get this, right? This is... Now, I also want this show, this spin-off show, to recommend products. As we get towards Christmas, gifts and products. Now...
You're looking at would be a highly original gift.
By the way, which celebrity do you think pops up? If you just put in cutouts onto Amazon, who's the first celebrity pops up? Any ideas?
Someone like Trump?
No, good guess. Warwick Davis.
Why?
No. I have no idea. I don't want to speculate for fear of getting into...
No, don't.
Yeah. But the next thing that pops up is this. Personalised life-size cardboard cutout.
Yes.
It's, and this is the incredible thing, 8 99.
I know. I'm just thinking how reasonable it is.
I'm putting a link to this in the episode description because...
So you can get a cutout of yourself.
Yes.
I mean, yes. That's right up your street.
Well, first up, our youngest son. How dare you? The insult finally arrived.
He was slow on the update.
It took a while. But not an insult, definitely a fact. But our youngest son still wants me to sit on the chair while he goes to sleep.
Yeah, you could just get one of you standing next to his bed.
Cardboard parenting.
Yeah. But listen, how do you make it the right size? Because it says 1 to 8 foot.
Well, that's...
So what do you do?
To be honest, Beth, that
customise now.
You are in that window.
I'm thinking is I get a life-size cutout of myself, but I make myself 5 inches taller.
Yes. Yes, that's very strong. But also as a practical joke, to leave, you know... In various places, or I were to get a life size, like who's your? I suppose you don't really want to discuss your nemesis on this show, but for example, if I was to put an author on who does much better than you, if I were to get a Richard Osman life size cutout and just leave it, so you look up from writing your next novel and you see him looming over.
Surely
you.
A Richard Osman life size cutout would be more than $8.99. They'd need extra cardboard.
That would be a lot of paper involved in that. I do think that's sort of genuine. I like that as a recommendation.
I just think it's a very reasonable price.
$8.99. There's a link to it on the episode description today. So that was the Ewok cutout. Elsewhere, he bought a baby Yoda. Again, this is quite punchy. There's a link to it on the episode.
It's cute.
It's very, very cute. Because again, we're not into Star Wars. But I did watch The Mandalorian with our youngest. And... Baby Yoda he's adorable.
I really enjoyed the Stormtrooper story. That was really cool.
So, I mean, if you are into battle reenactment and someone comes along and says, we're going to go and do this battle reenactment for a charity for some sick kids, and you end up being in the show that you're reenacting, that's unbelievable.
I was about to say it's sort of win-win-win on every level, but I guess the charity thing... Didn't win.
No, sure. But, you know, I'm sure it all went to a good cause in the end, somehow, somewhere. I'm sure charities did fine, Beth. It's still a miraculously wonderful moment.
It's very funny.
If you could, I mean, I could probably know the answer to this. If there was a TV show where someone said, could you get dressed as maybe a Downton? And then you end up thinking you're going to do a charity event. And then you see Bonneville
standing
there.
And then I get
to
be an extra in something.
Yeah.
Well, the one that springs to mind that it wouldn't work is Hacks. I love Hacks, and I want to go to see Deborah in a comedy gig.
Right. Maybe as another comedian on the bill with her in the green room.
Yeah, something like that.
Can we have a quick side chat about Hacks? I don't know if we've mentioned it before.
I think we have actually talked about it.
It is just unbelievable, Hacks. I think it's on Amazon Prime.
No, I've got a better idea.
Here we go.
I dress as an alien, and then I'm in Resident Alien.
Yes. Yes, good. I'm glad you brought up Resident Alien, which is, I think, the best show I've watched in years. Alan Tudyk is one of the funniest.
So funny.
Best, most complete, and you can tell it's improv-based comedy actors I have ever seen. He started his own podcast this week, I've just noticed. So I'm going to send an email and see if I can get him on my podcast. I mean,
oh my God,
well.
He would be incredible.
I might as well have a go. But if you haven't seen Resident Alien, it's one of those shows, it's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. So it has incredible reviews.
It's really mad.
In the UK, it's on Now TV. Who's it for? Who likes it? It's quite.
Well,
it's not Modern Family, is it?
We watch it with our son. So, I mean, it's not entirely appropriate, but it's not inappropriate either.
It's just really crazy. Yeah, it is absolutely brilliant. And I just think Alan Tudyk, it's worth watching for him alone.
Yeah.
So if you haven't watched Resident Alien, then consider this. You already got, we're just getting towards the ad break now, but you've already got two solid recommendations. Buy a life-size cutout. Mm. And in fact, let me know, tom@toasterpod.com. We want to know who is the person, celebrity or otherwise, that you would get a life-size cutout of. That's a good question.
Yeah.
tom@toasterpod.com. Drop me an email and we'll put it in next week's Toasted episode. And then go and watch Resident Alien. Those are two bits of homework for you to do. But very quickly, before we get to the ads, so here we have the Disney store. It's the official Mandalorian Baby Yoda. It's £17.49. You're never going to get it cheap, are you, in these things? Lots of nice reviews. Someone called TT has written, great, it's real good. Someone else has written, I have a few family members with kids and they all adore Grogu. I've probably pronounced that wrong. So I bought this plushie as an addition to our guest bedroom. That's a nice thing to do.
So you put it on the bed, on the spare bed?
Yes, because in our house, what I've got, similarly for warmth and love and hugs, is loads of old golf clubs.
Yeah. I always found that's incredibly welcoming for guests, being hit by a golf club in the night.
Do you think that's weird to put... to put some soft toys in your spare room? I think that's rather nice.
Can I take this opportunity to ask listeners to email in to tell you to clear up the spare room before Christmas?
I think bullying my listener, singular, into doing your admin is a completely acceptable fee, because you're not getting paid for this, so you might as well do that. We're getting towards ad time. When we come back, we have got more things to discuss from the Ross Noble episode. We've got to talk about spiders, and frankly, Beth, it's about time we talked about sperm. Ads are here. Patreon.com/toasterpod. Hello, welcome back. This is Toasted, Ross Noble, where me and Sunday Times top 10 bestselling author Beth Murray. Can I just start to call you Beth Murray now? Because
no, I insist on the full title.
Sitting with me, going through the Ross Noble episode, The Spider Catcher. How did you feel about this? There it is for you to look at.
Yeah, I have many, many thoughts on spiders and Ross Noble. I was horrified
yes.
by his story. I can never go to Australia. No offence to Australia or Australians. I'm sure you're all very lovely. But I'm convinced that as soon as I get off the plane, a spider the size of a dinner plate attaches itself to my face instantly.
You do realise that any Australian, like Ross Noble, who spent loads of time there, whenever we go, oh my God, the spiders, look at you like, what's wrong with you?
I know.
Because even when you get bitten by the most poisonous ones, you don't really die.
Well, that isn't reassuring.
It is true, though. They're so, for example, do you remember our friend Simon was telling us in the summer, someone got stung 3 times by a snake while they were playing tennis?
Yeah.
She was playing tennis with his bloody adder, slightly sort of Jennifer Saunders.
Didn't she just not bother to do anything about
bloody
it?
Bloody things bitten me on the ankle 3 times. They're not that, I think...
That isn't something that makes me go, oh, right then, let's just go for it. I don't want to be like interrupting my day. Oh, sorry, I can't get that done because I've just got to nip to A&E to get some anti-venom.
But I would say, well, that's my point, is you don't really need the anti-venom. It's an overreaction.
Oh, no.
You nearly swore that.
But I don't even want to see them. I don't want to know that they're there. I don't want to be around them. I want continence between me and those spiders. When he talked about that zombie spider thing.
Yeah, remind me. That's when they all just appeared, when he was on a run.
No, it was
the
one that they
spray.
Killed
yes,
and then it reanimated and came back into the house. I've got a story for you that's very topical. That happens in Britain. Right now.
What?
I read a story the other day.
You've got spider alerts on your Google.
I know, I've got a bit of an obsession. No, a friend sent me this link to a Time Out article. So it's legit, about infestations of zombie spiders that's going on in the UK. And it's because the spiders have been infected by some sort of fungal parasite, which kills them, but very, very slowly, and continues to control their movements for several days afterwards so they can infect other spiders.
Well, hang on, so they're dead but still moving?
Yes!
Are you joking?
No, actual zombie spiders. And they're white as well, so they look like zombified.
Right.
And this is happening in the UK now.
Did you read the article on the Daily Mail?
No, I said time not. Out.
Oh, right, I see.
Legit.
Because the Daily Mail would never let you know if it was white people doing anything bad. So, oh my... Okay, you need to send me a link to that and I'll put it in the episode description.
I will, I will. It was terrifying.
I've got various thoughts that have splintered off my head from that. First of all, has anyone ever read the Adrian Tchaikovsky sci-fi novels about spiders that get sent to Mars and over time become a super race? They're unbelievable.
What's the point of spiders being sent to Mars, though? Like,
well, I think it's... I can't remember the exact setup, but I think in a similar way to Cat in Red Dwarf, they get left there and over millennia they evolve. And it's... I think it's called Children of Time. It is so good. So if you're into sci-fi novels, then I can't recommend that enough.
No, thank you.
Secondly, The Spider Catcher. I feel we should get The Spider Catcher because, Beth, you have a real problem with false widows, which are not a poisonous spider. And yet you go in the back garden in our house and it's like you want a little one-woman episode of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Mm. The screaming, the screeching, the squealing for some random...
I wouldn't describe myself as like being particularly worried about spiders in an everyday sense. I don't have a phobia or anything. I don't like them much. But I have a real problem with false widows because we have too many. That's my problem with them. And they can bite. I know it's no worse than like a wasp sting or something. Mm. Though I also know somebody who got bitten by one and had to have antibiotics. So there. So I just don't like them. There's too many of them. And I know I'll attract the haters for this, but I started, when I realised how many we had, I started killing them. I don't kill other spiders, but I'll kill a false widow because I want to keep the population down, frankly.
Would you do a version of swimming with sharks, but with spiders? And then you'd love spiders. You'd never eat spiders again.
I don't think that would work because, like, for example, I reckon I could hold a tarantula if the keeper told me it was fine.
Mm. So it's the element of surprise.
Yeah, it's the way they move. And you know, the other day, and I didn't kill this one either. The other day I was walking along and there was one of those gigantic house spiders walking along the lapel of my coat.
Hang on. Lapel?
Like that bit.
Lapel?
Is it?
Oh, my. What's just happened?
Oh, God. I'll never hear the end of this.
This is like necklace all over again.
You're going to get a life-size cutout of yourself with a speech bubble saying, is it lapel?
What's lapel?
That's what I thought it was.
Have you spent your whole life calling it a lapel? That's not the sort of thing I would do. Sorry, so there was a...
There was a spider walking down my coat.
Yeah, which bit of your coat?
The chest bit.
Oh, nice, okay.
And I had to wrestle and squeal my way out of the coat, throwing it on the floor.
So...
It's the surprise element.
So here's the thing. The foldable spider catcher, a link to which is in today's episode description. £11.99. It says easy to use, but you know what this reminds me of? When we first got dogs, which is nearly 20 years ago now.
Yes, you're right. I know what you're going to say, and you're right.
Well, go on.
It's the pooper scooper version, but for spiders. And I'm sorry, Ross, I call bullshit.
They're rubbish. So at the end, it's very sweet though, because I don't think I got this across enough in the episode, but the reason he bought them is because he was going away back on tour and leaving his wife and daughters. And he wanted that because he was the one who always dealt with the spiders.
That's quite sweet.
It's sweet, isn't it?
But that's not going to deal with a spider, in my opinion, particularly, you know, a bad one. I would recommend, you could probably look it up on Amazon. There's another version of a spider catcher, which is like a little Hoover. And in I've had those. And they're not like 100%, but they're better.
Very Lakeland.
Yes. Mm. In fact, I think I might have got ours from Lakeland. Yeah. But I bet you can get them on Amazon as well. But those sort of little brushy things, that is not effective enough.
No, so at the end, it's got large bristles which come together to get the spider. Because ultimately, I will see, and I rarely tell you this, but when you're not here, if I see a spider, I literally do nothing. I couldn't care less.
Yeah, you're like my mother. She considers them to be pets.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Your mother's a little bit more Wednesday Addams than me, but yes. And so when I do see them sort of stroll past, I'm like, they're going about their business.
I know, and I know that theoretically you're right, but what if one ends up on your face?
And well, that's just not going to happen, is it?
Also,
there's a video of one here. Someone's demonstrating the spider catcher. Oh, I can't remember.
No. Where's the...
Yeah, where's the spider? There's not a real spider.
That's not a real spider,
no,
so it just doesn't count.
They're not picking
I want to see
spider.
A real spider, someone wrestling and squealing.
Yeah. You want to see someone doing a panic.
And the fucking spider running away really easily.
Oh, one star. Doesn't work properly. Really disappointed with this item. Difficult to squeeze the handle to close the bristles that enclose the spider.
Yes.
They just slip out and away.
Yes.
No way of spreading the bristles except by hand. They are much too coarse and damage the spider.
Yes.
See?
I think the Hoover would be better. But it's also worth pointing out that in this show, we've had several pest discussions.
Yeah.
And I think like you could do a whole pest spin-off on Amazon. Because if you look at my wish list on Amazon, it's wigs and pesticide. Those are my two preoccupations, you know, for moths, for mice, for spiders.
Yeah.
I go to Amazon for a lot of insects and pests.
I mean, again, it's the format doing its work, isn't it? That sums you up.
Wigs and pests.
Wigs and pests. Mm. Show off and run away. That's it, basically. Sperm sample containers. I mean, we can look at that if you want to. But I'm not really into particularly.
I imagine I know what a sperm sample container looks like.
Do you?
I don't know. Let's see.
I mean, I don't want to be
just one of those.
I don't want to be too crude, but
containers.
A sperm sample container to me would technically look like a testicle. That's what I'd be expecting.
Do you remember when we had to catch our dog's wee?
I'm glad that's where you went with that. Oh my God, when Polly, our last dog, was poorly, and we had to get a urine sample, and we had one of these little sample things. $13.99, by the way, for 50 urine sample bottles. And we had to chase after her. And again, similarly to getting the plastic pooper scooper, when actually what you're going to do is just pick up the poo with your hand in a poo bag. That's what you're going to do in the end, right? Similarly, they gave us blue gloves to wear. So we had to chase after a female dog as well. So they squat rather than cock a leg. And I remember just chasing after her and then having this moment where I was like, she's just going to wee all over my hand.
Yes.
And then eventually just sort of just putting my hand. Like,
and she's so appalled by it as well.
She couldn't believe what we were doing. Great times, great times.
They look exactly how I expected they look. I mean, I think there should be an option for fewer
than 200. Yes, I think there is. I think Ross had a bit of a moment there and bought 200 of them. But incredible that he got to the vasectomy right at the end of the episode.
Yeah, no, just threw it out like that.
Like minute 85.
Anyway.
I was already sort of, hallucinating because of the amount of stuff being spoken. So I didn't really take it in properly. And then finally, on today's Toasted episode, going through the Ross Noble episode. By the way, Hayley Morris is my guest next week. She is fantastic. She's an Instagram influencer and she has quite the journey. So that's who we'll be doing next week, the brilliant Hayley Morris. But finally on Ross, this is how he finished his episode, and it was a magical moment.
Oh, yeah, I loved this.
So
it was deeply satisfying.
£14 for a simulation of a floating white swan. The only swan that doesn't belong to His Majesty the King, crucially. And Ross bought this to keep the ducks off the pool, and it was tiny.
Yeah. You've had an episode.
Yes, I was waiting for that.
Where you ordered something that you thought was a lot bigger.
Yes. So, back in the day when I bought you nice gifts, so we're going more than 10 years ago now, I wanted to get you a lovely copper pot for your birthday, I believe. And copper pots, because of course they're
really expensive.
If you go into a posh kitchen shop, a posh copper pan pot thing to cook with is at least £200 or £300. And I was a bit dismayed by this, and I discovered on Amazon I could get one for £25. So I bought it and it arrived, and it was a copper pot for a doll's house. It was, I would say, the same size as an AirPod.
I still have it.
Do you actually? Are you for sauteing?
I sort of have it as like a decoration.
It's nice to sort of decorate and celebrate my idiocy.
Yeah, it looks nice in the kitchen and I can have a chuckle to myself about you being a moron.
Yeah, he's an idiot. But Ross did this. He was trying to keep the ducks off his pool.
Yeah.
Highly relatable content, because we've all been there. But it was, I enjoyed it thoroughly because it is the sort of thing that, this thing where ducks arrive on the pool. And of course, this relates to swimming, Beth, which is obviously your forte, your expertise. How would you feel if you owned a swimming pool and you're diving in and swimming through duck poo?
Yeah, I would not enjoy that. But I mean, I had a real problem with the fact that he'd ordered so many things that, as you said, how on earth did he swim in the pool? Because there were so many things floating in it that you couldn't get past it. And, you know, his wife solved the problem by getting a cover. That was straightforward.
Yes, there was quite a lot of moments during the episode where his cuts to his wife going, shall I just solve this problem? But he, you know, I'd love the opportunity to discover these problems with having a pool, but
yeah,
it's not
it'd be
something
nice to worry about it. But also, I thought what that story demonstrated so beautifully about the format was the inherent nerdiness of everyone, celebrity or normie. We're all quite geeky, and we have these weird preoccupations that occupy us.
Yes,
and Ducks, Amazon,
false widows.
Amazon reveals it, that we're all, whether we're famous, whether we're rich, whether we're poor, we're all just pottering round, occupying ourselves with absolute bullshit.
Yes. God, that's very profound.
I know. It's
well
deep,
done for saving
it?
That for the end of the episode, because it feels quite professional. It feels like you've given us a proper full
it's
stop.
It's almost
there.
Like I thought it through.
The Ross, the thing that I was interested about Ross as well, before we finished, very, very quickly, when he was talking about writing the Jason Statham thing, he was really obsessed after we finished recording with, do I sound like an idiot? And he says it during the episode, he says, do I sound like a fantasist? He really was out of his comfort zone, because Ross is a stand-up comedian, and he was writing these scripts during lockdown, And that takes to get them commissioned, to get them optioned, means they're not rubbish, right? And it's Ross. He's a comedy, you know, I'd say he's a genius. He's amazing. But he was really hung up on that. He was like, is that okay? Do I sound like a moron?
I would watch that film, whether it was Jason Statham or Vin Diesel.
Yeah, I know. But he was really sort of... So I would say if anyone out there is working on any sort of creative project, if Ross Noble feels, you know, inhibited and insecure about these things, then you're welcome to as well. Just so you know, we are at the end of the episode, and this has been decided by our other dog, which has now arrived. So Phoebe's now here. Out of nowhere, she's decided to come and join you.
Yes. Do you want to say anything, Phoebe? Hey, would you like a life-size cutout of yourself?
She's banging your microphone. All right. Okay. Well, thanks very much for listening. So Hayley Morris is our guest next week on Normal My Mate Bought a Toaster. And assuming that we get any time, we will do this again next week and have a look through Hayley's purchases. Don't forget, we have got now the full episode of Ross is up on YouTube. And it's really important to me, not to you, I know, but to me, if you can write, rate and review and subscribe and all that stuff, especially on Spotify. So if you do listen to us on Spotify, if you get a second and just give us a nice review and write the briefest of pleasantries, it really, really, really helps get us up and running. So thank you in advance if you get a moment to go and do that. In the meantime, we'll see you next Tuesday. Stop it. For Hayley Morris, thank you very much. Sunday Times top 10 bestselling author Beth Murray.
Thank you.
Thank you to my dogs.
It's my mate, what a toaster. Oh, it's my mate, what a toaster.